You're listening to Sikh Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts, USA.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Lord, can I have this dance? To my heavenly bridegroom, King and Creator of all. Lord, can I have this dance? Please come, take me by the hand as we glide through the sounds of time. I will follow your lead. Never let me go as I melt into your arms and get lost in your warm embrace. These words of life and love echo within the chambers of my heart and flood my entire being in the fullness of your presence. The more that I come to know you, Lord, the more that I love you. The more that I love you, the more that I want to know you. For you are a mystery to me, the ultimate sign and wonder of every living thing. For your divine imprint is on everything. Lord, you are the ultimate adventure. I want to discover every little thing about you and what this means for me here on the earth. Lord, I want to be mesmerized and memorize your favorite sounds and songs from heaven. The new songs appointed for this time, that together, along with the 24 elders and the four living creatures and all the countless myriads of angels and saints of heaven and the heavenly cloud of witnesses, we can sing your favorite songs day and night, night and day, around your throne forever. I want to be mesmerized by your heavenly vision. I want to see what you see. I want to hear what you hear, feel what you feel, touch what touches your heart. I want to know your favorite everything. I want to love what you love. I want to laugh with you about the things that you find joyful. I want to cry with you about the things that make you sad. I want to dine with you, sleep with you, all because I love you with all of my heart, with all of its imperfection. I want to see all of your dreams for mankind come true. I want to travel with you down the roads of humanity in a vehicle of revelational knowledge until I encounter the very depth of my soul entwined in a mesh within your soul and your spirit and the very essence of who you are. Through you, in you, the whole of you, in my thoughts, in my words, and in my deeds. Lord, I want to know you better, Lord, than anyone else has ever desired to know you. Why? Because the more that I love you, the more that I know you, the more that I love you. And I really do mean love you, because I love loving you. Love your friend forever and ever.
Of fear, dance to your song. I am not ashamed to lift up my voice. I am not ashamed. Run to the edge of your love. I close my eyes. Fall into you as I rest in your arms. I know I'm free. I know I'm free. Flowers of the field dance to your song. I am not ashamed to lift up my voice. I am not ashamed. I run to the edge of your love. I close my eyes.
You're free with Jesus, with Yeshua. We're free, free indeed. But how many people know about this freedom? You can only know this in intimate union with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with Yeshua HaMashiach, our heavenly bridegroom King. I'm Dr. Shirley Canis, and we are in the month of June, June 4th to be exact, at 11:10 a.m., and it's on a Saturday. And I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Canis. And I just want to say God bless you to Facebook, all my friends on Facebook, and Faith Talks Live Prayer, and our YouTube channel, Broadcast and Network on YouTube, WSTKI TV, and that stands for Seek the Kingdom Internet WSTK, Take the Kingdom Internet Christian Television, okay, to Boston. I think I said that right. And then WSCIRO, which we are on right now, and that's Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach, Ograda, Boston. So, that's our station identifier. And you just heard at the top of the hour a new song that the Lord had given me. And I heard it in the spirit being proclaimed through the form of poetry. And I pictured myself whispering in the Lord's ear. I actually had a dream, and that's how the song came to me. It was written in 2004, but then the Lord gave me a dream a couple weeks ago, and He was dancing with me, and you know, and it was doing something. It was breaking chains. It was healing generational sins and curses of whatever was in our line, and there was complete victory happening, and it was so awesome. I actually had that dream and vision when I was listening to a Kim Clement broadcast on KimClement.tv, I believe it was last Saturday, so I'm off by a couple of weeks, but, you know, time is definitely, it's like faster than usual because of the different shifts in magnetic fields of the Earth's plates and the position of the Earth in space and everything because of these disasters that are happening in the form of earthquakes and tornadoes and floods and different things like that. But what does it say in the New Testament? That the Lord is shortening time because of the stress of these days and how it wears and tears the people of God, the people of the Earth, okay? And it's for the sake of the elect and those destined to be the elect. And what are we talking about when we say elect, Jeff? What's the elect all about? Who are the elect?
Who are the elect?
Yeah.
The saints of the Lord God.
Yeah.
Those who are born again through water and the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
and come and submit themselves unto the death of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Under the blood, under the Lordship?
Lordship.
In His life, death, and resurrection, right?
You got it.
You're right? All right. But what about Israel? What about the people of Israel, the ones who originally heard the message? Because Jesus, when He was alive here, walking the face of the earth, it was He had a ministry unto the house of Israel, in Israel, because He's the King of Israel, right? And then after His time on the cross, His life, death, and then after the resurrection, the Holy Spirit moved through the apostles, and it's through the apostolic anointed. He called out the apostles not only to the house of Israel, but also to the Gentile nation, because in the heart of Yeshua HaMashiach, He wills that all of Israel be saved. And in the book of Genesis, when the Lord appeared to Abraham and changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, and his wife from Sarai to Sarah, because of His faithfulness and His obedience and His heart, He called Him out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldeans. He changed the name to signify that He did a work within His inner nature, because He found Him worthy to be the father of all nations. And He showed Him descendants that would come under His patronage that would be as numerous, okay, as the sands of the seashore and the stars of the sky. Now, the sands of the seashore are physical, okay? It's something that you can tangibly touch. You could walk on it, and it's related to the earth, okay? So that is physical Israel. And the other part to this mystery is that in the, you know, the stars and the heavenly hosts are, you know, the stars mean heavenly hosts. They also mean something of the spiritual nature. All right. So what happens when the Lord Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Ruach HaKodesh, breathes the Holy Spirit into our spirit, and we become new creations. What happens is that we have a birth of the under the order of the spiritual realm. If we are Gentiles coming in to the kingdom, if we are branches that are being engrafted into the tree that supports the roots of Israel, and that's the tree of life, and that is Jesus, you know, and Yeshua. Now, in order for the kingdom of God to come to the earth, you have to have both and. You have to have spiritual Israel, and you have to have physical Israel. And so that's why this program is going to be dedicated, all right, to Israel's right to exist both spiritually and physically. And I've heard many leaders, I've been watching them over the course of the last 2 months talk about this as the peace talks escalate, as things escalate in the Middle East, okay? And I've heard people's response, leaders' response, Christian leaders' response, and also the media response, of, you know, the lay people that really have a passion for Israel. I heard their opinions and how it's backed up by Scripture. And then I heard just everyday common people like Kim Clement on KimClement.tv during one of his den broadcasts, the last one being Thursday. He had on his broadcast, you can get him as an archive broadcast all day long until tonight. He had interviewed a fellow from, what was the name from KISS? What was it?
Gene Simon.
Yeah, Gene Simon from KISS, who was coming from a worldly perspective and also, you know, supported Obama as Gene Simmons. He talked about, you know, the logistics of why we need to support Israel and what's really going on there, and only people know that live there know exactly what's going on there and what they need. And so for someone to come and challenge them back to, let's go back to what pre-existed before the 1967 year war, which I was only 7 years old then.
it was the most appalling thing he heard.
Yeah, it was the most appalling thing,
I mean,
that he had heard.
He was so offended he used some really bad words to express his offense.
Right, because that's the language of the world, but it shouldn't be the language of Christianity, but they did bleep that out. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, the way that life is set, we don't go backwards, but sometimes we have to go backwards to go forward, but we don't have to go backwards and forget what gains we've had. We go forward, and that's common sense, but that's also the wisdom of the Lord. I had gone to Israel in 1987 when I was 27 years old. It was definitely a trip that was sponsored by the hand of the Lord working through a vessel. And what happened was, you know, I made contact. It was on pilgrimage, and the Lord was showing me, you know, the need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to pray for Israel. So I've always since then had, even before then, because I always wanted to go to Israel before then. I wanted to walk the land that he walked. But after that, what grew and grew and grew in passion was the desire to always pray for the peace of Jerusalem, to pray for Israel, to understand all that I need to know about Israel. And you know, I faithfully became a member of Intercessors for Israel, a clandestine group that had met in houses. Can't disclose the location, but it started. It was established in 1987 by the word of Sister Ruth Ward Heflin, who was at Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and we all had tea with her. And we had gone there with the Full Gospel Businessmen Association. And some of you may know one person who had passed on. What was his name?
Alex
Canavan. And that's where that's who I went with. And of course, a few other people and who had strong prophetic giftings even then in the 80s. And so, you know, we were always under the impression that, you know, we always had to keep Israel in prayer and its leaders and its borders and its boundaries. And I thank the Lord for that. And, you know, the thing is, when I heard all this, and then I heard the charge for, you know, leaders to come forward, and if you're not saying anything, if you're, you know, that means you're complacent, and, you know, the Lord can take this gift away from you and that. I thought, well, what if people are still praying and they just don't know and they're just, you know, waiting on the Lord for what He wants to say in this round of peace process and also reveal His strategy from heaven now. So I was under that mandate to wait on Him before I broadcasted anything because I... You know, it's easy to come into agreement with what other leaders are saying, which are scriptural. Yes, and anything you get from the Lord has to have a foundation in the scriptures. It has to have an absolute truth in it if you're going to be an authentic person in the prophetic, okay? So, I waited on the Lord, and I had a dream vision, and I wanted to share it with you. But before I do that, I'm going to have my husband read Romans 11. Okay, we are at a crucial point. And then we're going to pray for the President of the United States because, he had disclosed, and I think, Jeff, you need to read that article. Let's read that article first, okay, and then we'll read Romans 11. He took an article off the Internet with President Obama's direct words before he met up with Benjamin Netanyahu, all right? And I'm not so sure, you know if he meant it or if he was just throwing out something to the general public to see what the outcry was and to get a sense of where the public was with this, because you know maybe in his heart it's not settled. But then Fiona, Pastor Fiona on Kim Clement, and I'll put the link in my Facebook page and in Faith Talks Live Prayer. She was on this last Thursday's broadcast, and she was saying that she actually, before President Obama was elected President of the United States, she actually was somewhere where she heard with her ears his address to the Orthodox Jewish leaders in New York, at a conference in New York, and he talked about how he wanted to support Israel. He's a friend of Israel, and they embraced him, you know, and he got the Jewish vote. But you know, he's also all inclusive of everyone else. But he really authentically at the time meant that he would support Israel and the leaders and, you know, for Israel's right to exist, okay? But I really believe when you're in the political arena, there's a mindset that comes over politicians that may not match up with the biblical, okay? And then when we're caught up in the present moment situation, it's almost as if there's pressure from within and without that, you know, nabs that leader's heart, and they want to make that decision. Let's just speed it up. Let's just rush it along, and things like that. And so because of that, one can become careless in their statements as they're muddling through the muck and the mire of the process. So and things
also,
like that.
Also, the Osama bin Laden thing that happened recently too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The dialogue between Kim and Pastor Fiona came to the conclusion that
that was
I keep going.
You lost it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, want you to read that article right now, and then it's going to come back to you, okay? So Jeff is going to read something from the HuffPost Politics?
Huffington Post.
Huffington Post. And what paper is that, Jeff?
It's an internet newspaper. I believe it comes out of England.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally trust the quality of their articles.
Mm-hmm.
And this was posted on the 19th, the original date that the president made the statement I'm going to read. And it was also updated on the 25th of May. So there's updated information as well as the original article here. From Washington, the headlines made it clear, from New York to Tel Aviv, President Obama's call for a two-state solution between Israel and the Palestinians, with borders based on lines prior to the Six-Day War of 1967, was a first for a sitting American president. The borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines, with mutually agreed swaps so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states. The president said toward the end of a much broader speech on the Middle East, the Palestinian people must have the right to govern themselves and reach their potential in a sovereign and contiguous state. While the president's position that Israel's borders should return to the borders it had before it occupied the West Bank, Gaza, and the Golan Heights, marks a new government stance. The idea is hardly a breakthrough among experts and professional peace negotiators. At least one Washington think tank has already drawn up several maps detailing possible swaps. It's somewhere between big deal and no deal, said Aaron David Miller, who spent 25 years as a Middle East negotiator for six U.S. Secretaries of State, and that is exactly what the administration wanted. Obama's speech on the eve of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's arrival here for meetings comes at a low point in the peace process that has brought little peace while becoming bogged down in the process. In his remarks at the State Department, Obama took both sides to task for the continuing stalemate. Efforts to delegitimize Israel will end in failure, the president warned. Story continues below. Alluding to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas' plan to ask the United Nations to General Assembly in September to unilaterally recognize a state of Palestine, President Obama warned that symbolic actions to isolate Israel at the United Nations in September won't create an independent state. Palestinian leaders will not achieve peace or prosperity if Hamas insists on a path of terror and rejection. And Palestinians will never realize their independence by denying the right of Israel to exist. But while President Obama noted the bond with the Jewish state is rooted deeply in our shared history and shared values, he added that precisely because of our friendship, it is important that we tell the truth. The status quo is unsustainable. Obama noted a growing number of Palestinians living west of the Jordan River, and stately flattered in words not often heard uttered by an American president, the dream of a Jewish and democratic state cannot be fulfilled with permanent occupation. Analysts said the president broke new ground and from the Israeli perspective, controversial ground, by focusing first on the borders and security, and leaving the stickier issues of Jerusalem and refugees for later, an approach the liberal pro-Israel group J Street has just been advocating for since last year. Obama appeared to suggest he was willing to push back against the longtime Israeli demand that any peace agreement allow it to keep troops stationed along the Jordanian border. The full and phased withdrawal of Israeli military forces should be coordinated with the assumption of Palestinian security, responsibility, and a sovereign, non-militarized state, Obama said. Daniel Levy, a veteran Israeli peace negotiator, now at the New American Foundation, said, Obama seemed to make clear that a sovereign Palestinian state means no permanent Israeli presence in the Jordan Valley or at Palestinian external borders with third countries. University of Maryland Middle East expert Shelby Talahami says, Obama's very important wording does not seem to preclude the possibility of international peacekeepers along the Jordanian border. Robert Sattler of the right-wing Washington Institute for Near East Policy wrote that Obama's statement that a Palestinian state should have borders with Egypt, Jordan, and Israel implies categorical American opposition to any open-ended Israeli presence inside the future Palestinian state, a departure from previous understandings during the Clinton administration. In certain Israeli circles, notably much of the media commentary and business elites, the particulars of the Obama speech will be considered an admonition to Netanyahu and evidence of Netanyahu's failed policy and diplomacy, Levi said. Indeed, before boarding a plane for Washington, Netanyahu reiterated that the defense of Israel requires Israeli military presence along the Jordan River. Obama's speech is going to create a fair amount of awkwardness and upset in what already is a contentious relationship with Netanyahu. The Israelis are not going to be happy with Obama's push on the peace process, said Reba Bahala, a Middle East expert at the research group Stratfor. But it's not like the peace process is going to go anywhere. With settlement building continuing on the West Bank, an uncertain partner in Egypt, and Hamas and Fatah agreeing to form a unity Palestinian government, the prospect for renewed talks are dead in the water even as things intensify in the lead up to the September UN session. The president's comments about Israeli-Palestinian conflict will lead nowhere, wrote Elliot Abrams, a conservative Middle East advisor to George Bush, in a post that originally appeared at the Council on Foreign Relations website. It is striking that he suggested no action, no meeting, no envoy, no quartet session, no invitations to Washington. Abrams said Obama's decision to delay negotiations on Jerusalem and refugees was unrealistic. A successful negotiation required trade-offs, so reducing the number of issues on the table may actually make success harder, he wrote. But it is possible that the White House understands all this and was mostly seeking to pack the issue for the coming year through some balanced rhetoric. They may have achieved their goal. At the end.
So that's the issue in a nutshell, and that's where the present negotiations are. Now, I want to go to the dream because the Lord gave me some insight into this spiritually, okay, and based on the dream, based on the spiritual significance of why we need to support Israel's right to exist, not only physically, but spiritually. But what that entails, okay? He gave me eyes to see both angles, and hopefully this can shed some light as to what is really happening behind the scenes and what the strategy is from heaven, all right? And the strategy that is from heaven is based on Romans 11. I'm going to flip right now to Romans 11 in the New Testament before I talk to you about my dream, okay? Because it'll make sense. The dream will make sense, all right, once we read Romans 11. So, Romans 11, the remnant of Israel. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself. This is the Apostle Paul. A descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant, a chosen people by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain. But the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor. eyes so that they could not see and ears so that they could not hear to this very day. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs be bent forever. Okay, so let's go to the engrafted branches, all right, and we'll see what the Lord does, because that's not a permanent state, okay, of existence spiritually. Engrafted branches. Again, I ask, do they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? No, not at all, says the Apostle Paul. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles. But that's God's perfect plan, you know, to make Israel envious. And I believe that salvation went to the Gentiles for such a time as this. For now, to intercede, to stand in the gap for a move of the Holy Spirit on behalf of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, and in the nation of Israel. But if their transgression means riches, and we're talking about spiritual riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? I am talking to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? And that's from the spiritual death, okay? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you through a wild olive shoot have been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you. Provided that you continue in his kindness, otherwise you will also be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you are cut off out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? All Israel will be saved. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery and fact, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, and so all of Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account, but as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarch. For God's gift and his call are irrevocable. Again, for God's gift and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at the same time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience, so that they may have mercy on them all. Alright? Then this is the doxology of the song. On the death of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgment, and has passed beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. So this brings me to the dream that I have had, okay? I was sleeping in my own bed, and I have a big, big picture of Jesus on the wall that I had been drawn to years ago when my daughter Naomi had drowned and came back, because I was praying. I had been coming from a time of praying and fasting, and she had an incident by poolside, and she literally died, and she was, you know, gone for about, you know, 45 minutes. She had the likeness of death. She was purple, and she lost her bowel movement. She was frothing. She frothed at her mouth. She was very limp. She was purple, cyanotic, purple and blue. Her eyes were open, lifeless, and she was very limp. Okay, and what happened was she did have she heard my voice, and when she was with Jesus at the right hand of God, on His lap, and she said this one thing. She just said, after He said He loved her, all right, and she felt warm and fuzzy. That meant the electricity of the Holy Spirit. Electrostatic, and she had said, my prayer on earth side was, when I was on my knees, Lord, breathe your breath of life into Naomi like you did Adam, and I kept saying that over and over again. I kept staying with that scripture, and I was praying it in the spirit. I was praying it, the scriptures, over my daughter, just to Jesus, at the prompt of an angel. There was an angel standing over me telling me to continue to do what I'm doing, and it was praying. That's all I was doing. And then what happened was, and then she heard, after a day or two, she was having this dialogue with her older sister. She said that she heard me calling her name, all right, and she had asked Jesus, after He said He loved her, and He gave her a hug. She felt warm and fuzzy. Can I go back to my mommy now? She's calling me, okay? So I was praying. I was calling on her name, but I was asking the Lord a specific favor. She received favor. She received life back again from the dead, from the grave, and He restored her. And she came to. She should have been a vegetable. She should have died. And, I mean, she should have been a vegetable because of the oxygen, the length of time that she was without oxygen going to the brain. But there was a little scar, and we found out she has central auditory processing disorder, but she could still learn. She wasn't in a wheelchair. She was perfectly agile, and she, you know, her spirit too, the Lord gave her, before she had passed away, she had been shy and withdrawn and clumsy, and all those changed. She came back with a spring in her step and telling everybody what to do. So she came back the complete opposite, you know. But anyways, and it's good to see the life operating within her like this. But you know, I always keep her in prayer, as she's now 21, going to be 22 in November. But the reason why I was saying that is, and I got off a tangent, was that picture that I was telling you about. I was over the bed, and I really believe it was a portal, because you know, it was $6. I had picked it up at this Woolworths before they went out of business. I think it was a year that they went out of business, and it was a couple of weeks after the drowning incident, and I felt so apprehended by the Holy Spirit to go to the mall, the Westgate Mall. I felt like it was a revival meeting about ready to happen, because the anointing was so impressive. Okay, and overwhelming. I'm like, I better go see what this is all about. And I almost went out in the spirit as I was walking to Woolworths. And next thing you know, I was led to go over to these posters and pictures that they were selling. There was a unique value. I think it was like 70% off. So it was a big picture, and like, I really needed pictures at the time. So I went over, just put my hand on, I followed the anointing, and I put my hand on the picture that I thought what the Lord wanted. I was just following the anointing, and I took up the picture, and it was Jesus, and He looked so Hebrewish, you know, and Mediterranean, and I got a sense that the person that did this must have been. She must have been fasting and praying and everything, and it was a portal, and it was something that I really believe he actually saw when he was painting this. So then I bring it home, and I brought my daughter home from daycare. She runs right over to the picture. She said, "That's the picture. That's the Jesus that was with me when I was in the water." Now, I thought, wow, this is something else. This is like, oh, whoa. And it increased my faith, because at that point, being a single parent of four kids, one special, extreme special needs, who had autism, and I had to do some, you know, advocating and praying and advocating for his needs. I was just so overwhelmed at the time, and I was like, is there a God? Is he hearing me? That's where I was before the incident. And when I found out that my prayers were being heard, she heard them, and then she was able to identify exactly what Jesus looked like to her when she was with him. And I'm saying to myself, wow, this is the Lord, you know, used my daughter Naomi to really increase my faith. You know, that was my, you know, a gift from God. You know, she's a gift from God, of course. Every child is a gift from God. But this particular gift from God encouraged me, the giftings that the Lord had always poured into me. And I just want to thank God for that. So that picture is a portal. So I went in the spare room as soon as I, you know, went to sleep, or maybe as I was waking up. It's so hard in the spirit when you're going to sleep and waking up, or, you know, or just going to sleep. So I didn't know I was going to have a vision, and I love when the Lord, or dream vision, I love when the Lord sneaks up on me. So anyways, I hear this knock on the door. I'm thinking as I thought I fell asleep, that, you know, wow, I'm waking up again. Why can't I go to sleep? So I'm hearing this knock on the door, and somebody that, you know, I didn't quite expect to come. And I'm like, why am I getting visitors like 2 a.m? And he knocks on the door, and he's this tall person with a white band around his head. I thought that was quite odd. He says, come on out on the deck and look up in the sky. He says, there's a sign of the wonder about ready to happen. And I thought, a sign of the wonder, and I'm looking back at my husband, he's sleeping. I said, and then he woke up. But this is like dream vision, dream. It was in the same place we were at. So I knew it was a dream, and I knew it was a vision within a dream. So then he says, I said, Jeff, should I go out? He goes, well, go out there, don't worry about it. I'm like, what do you mean, don't worry about it? It's fine, don't worry about it. Yeah, maybe there is a sign of wonder about ready to happen. Just go enjoy yourself. That's what he said. So I went with my husband's blessings, and I look up in the sky, and I see this incredible fiery rain coming from heaven, fiery shimmery gold rain, and I wasn't afraid, you know. And the parking lot turned into a little mountain, and there was light that came on the mountain, and I was prompted to go up the mountain. As I was going up the mountain, because I wanted to get involved in it, because I knew, I said to myself, this, I felt peaceful. I'm like, this is from God, this is from heaven. That's what the angel said. Now I realize it was an angel that was talking to me. And then, you know, the light was shown in the neighborhood, then everybody in the neighborhood, Jewish people, everyone was coming out. But as the fiery sparks and flames were coming to the earth, it turned into like this white snow. And when it hit the ground, I'm like, and I saw that it was turning into white snow, I was like, oh, I gotta, like, you know, I was rolling it, having fun in it, and I was putting all over every limb of my body, and I was like, oh, and I'm like, Jeff, you gotta come out here, you gotta roll on this thing, this is like of God, and we're gonna be new people, you know, afterwards, and I didn't want it to end. And then I saw the strangest thing. At the base of this hillish mountain in the parking lot, I saw like Jewish people coming out with tallits and Star of David, and, you know, in the heart, and they're like coming out and receiving this too, and it could have been maybe the Lord, you know, bringing me into Israel too at the same time, but you know what, these golden sparks reminded me of coming from heaven. It was you know, you ever watch those movies where they're trying, where they take gold and they're refining it, and there's like a torch, and, you know, as they're putting the torch towards the gold, G-O-L-D, the spark, there's a reaction to the process, and the sparks are jumping all over the place. Well, those were the sparks that were coming from heaven, all right? And And I was wondering, wow. And then I saw the Jewish people. And then this declaration had welled up from within my spirit. And it went like this, all right? Israel is in the refiner's fire. Israel is in the refiner's fire. Israel is in the refiner's fire. And the Lord has forsaken Israel. And I could just kept going over and over again in my spirit. And it was like, then I got the sense, tell the nations of the earth that Israel is in the season of the refiner's fire. And it was so awesome. It's so awesome. I'm just thinking about it. It's making me cry because of the joy in the heart of the Lord about this and different things like that. And so that's one of the reasons why we need to continually pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace process. But the Lord's right now doing a spiritual work, all right? Through the prayers of spiritual Israel, for the physical Israel, the chosen people. And he's promised a lot to those, to his people, but he's also promised to those the same blessings to the descendants that are as numerous as the stars in the heaven. And who are those descendants? Those are the churches. Those are the ones who call them, they come from a Gentile place, but they acknowledge the Lord as Lord and Savior too. And those are the ones that have been, that the Apostle Paul was sent to, and things like that. So we really need to be about the Father's business of standing, for that reason alone, standing in the gap for Jerusalem, for Israel, because the people are being refined right now. They're in the refiner's fire. And in the book of Daniel, all right, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were kind of in a refiner's fire. They were in the fiery furnace of affliction, but there was a fourth guy standing there with them. And there's a fourth person standing in the fiery furnace, in the refiner's fire, that surrounds even the physical Israel. All right, and that is Yeshua HaMashiach. And he's about ready to reveal himself to the Jewish people. He's already started, but he's in power and glory. And we need to pray. We don't need to have political debates. We need to pray. Yes, we do need to, we're so caught up in America, being cursed and everything if we don't stand by Israel. But you can stand by Israel through your prayers, because a spiritual work is happening in the people of the Lord right now. In God's people, in the Jewish people, okay? So, we can't say, like it says in Romans 11, we can't be conceited and say, the Lord cut them off so we can be grafted in. We're only grafted in branches. And some of us have Jewishness in our background, so we got the combination of through our bloodlines, the grafted in and the cultivated root. So, that's pretty huge, okay? And that's a privilege, actually. So, Jeff, honey, you about ready to say something?
Yes, I am, because in this hour, this is what God is saying we need to do. If my people who are called by my name would turn from their wicked ways and repent, then I would hear from heaven and heal their land. Now, that's not exclusively to Americans. That's to the Jew, to the Arab, to all the nations of the Middle East and all the nations of the world. And to Christian believers especially, because they have the responsibility of interceding for the rest of the world, that God will bring everybody in. But this concern of Israel is of utmost importance, because God reacts.
Mm-hmm.
Someone raises a hand against Israel, the earth shudders.
Mm.
Someone raises a hand against Israel, the bad weather could increase. I'm not playing on people's fears, but God responds to people, and his favored nation, which brought forth the Messiah, which brought the Gentile people, which most of the people listening to me stem from the Gentile root, the Gentile branch that was grafted onto the branch of Israel through Jesus. And we don't have any favor other than what truly comes from God. And Israel never lost the favor of God, because in God's plan, they were going to come back. And it was real simple. You know, and the Christian church in general needs to repent of its sins against the Jews over the many generations of the Christian church's existence. And those who despise the Jews and hate the Jews and want to see them destroyed like Hamas, well, you're totally out of order. You're totally out of order. And the blessings of God will cease to flow on your life if you maintain that attitude.
Those who are politicians and are Christian have an obligation to understand, the heart of the Lord regarding His chosen people, the Jewish people, and Israel as a nation and its right to exist. It's always been spiritual first, okay? But there is a physical Israel, and there's something about human nature. When it comes to land disputes, want to control and take over. And the Lord who created human beings in His image and understood the nature of man in the fall and what he fell from, and how, and that's why He has Jesus, has Yeshua as a solution to redeem and restore mankind back to Him through His blood, through redemption, the redeeming work of of the power of His blood. He knew that in this time that we are living in, that there was going to be this dispute. But what I understand about land disputes comes from real estate, and real estate has been the issues of real estate have always had its own conflict and battle. No matter where you live, people came over here to this country, because they wanted to find a place where they can worship, in freedom and in spirit, worship Jesus in spirit and truth. But then they had the conflict with the Indians, because they came over to a land that was promised to them, but they, there was a conflict there, and there was wars happened to settle on the land.
In the beginning, God distributed to the human race the lands that they would live in, creating their borders and such. And people in the American continent before the Europeans came were the ones God gave the land. So there's a real rude awakening that some of our national people who came from Europe, who fell into greediness and power, all the real vices of being a unredeemed
sinful
human being.
Vices,
And these people suffered greatly at the hands of our federal government. They were herded like cattle into reservations. They were, in some instances, they were willfully given alcohol. These people didn't know what disease and alcohol were. They were totally separate from those things until the Europeans came and brought those things with them. And some of them used it to manipulate and control, because these indigenous people were very upset with the Europeans. And they were what we would call First Nation. They were the first people of this nation, which means God our Father, the Father of all creation, portioned out this to the many Indian tribes that existed.
The time is 12:00 p.m.
So now we go to we're back to the Jewish people and land disputes. Disputes always end, they always begin war. Some kind of civil strife, and sometimes many a times there are casualties in the war, and lots of times it leads to death. And the thing is, that wasn't always the will of the Lord, because when He placed man on this earth, after the fall, he created these land masses after the flood, and he put different populations and put different groups of people in different land masses with the ability to be able to live on that land. So he put in the spirit, about the spiritual laws, and also the way to take care of the land and to work at it and things like that. So then here is Israel, the apple of God's eye, and the place of the place of Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies, where he rests his feet, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and where he will come in the second coming, our second coming, the Jewish people's first coming. And it was always, he always desired a place where he is to be worshipped. And that's what has been his cry, and it hasn't changed, but somehow the perspective of humanity has changed. And that is the real reason why Jerusalem exists. But then you have the other fight regarding border and land, how much land, and the Jewish people, and how much land is the Palestinians, and they ignore the spiritual significance and the will of God for this land and what it's really all about. So that's why he ordained in Abraham he will also have descendants as numerous as the stars, which is spiritual Israel, because spiritual Israel has to have, to be in order to preserve the land in the spirit, preserve the physical land in the spirit for the Jewish people for this day and age, to prepare them for the coming of Yeshua. And so, and all those destined to come into the kingdom at that time. And that's the real reason Israel exists and should be continue to be a holy place, a place void of strife. And that's why we're always praying Psalm 122, peace of Jerusalem. But the issue the Lord was showing me of land dispute was very ludicrous, because what happens to physical land in the natural is, especially when there's weather judgments, and there's floods, and there's rains, and there's wear and tear on the earth through earthquakes and volcanoes, there's a disruption in land mass. And when I studied real estate several times, I remember the real estate teachers telling us that they always, after so many years, have to go back out and survey the land to get the proper measurements, because, lots of times through erosion, there's land loss, okay? And when there is land loss, nobody really understands where the true boundary really is. And so, since the Lord decreed the borders and the boundaries of Israel way back when, it just makes no sense now to reclaim those borders and boundaries, because the land is not the same as it was when the Lord spoke to Abraham. So my thinking is that we really need to start understanding the spiritual significance of Israel and why Israel exists, and go for the peace process along spiritual lines. And that is a dilemma, because in our country they took prayer out of schools, and almost made it, almost took the Ten Commandments out of the Supreme Court, but I think it's being brought back in. And they were trying to delete the name of Jesus in the graduation speeches and different things like that. But I think Texas. In Texas,
the law got reversed.
So, there are strides being made to bring the nations back to the spiritual roots, especially the Christian nations and things like that, as we are called as spiritual Israel to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because that will help the Jewish people make Aliyah, go to the land, receive the revelation, and anybody else that's on that land too, because what's over Israel is an open heaven, okay? And it cannot be closed through the strife of nations. And my whole position is, you know, to talk about this, because I was, to be honest with you, afraid to talk about this, because I didn't want to talk about this in my own power. And I wanted to go specifically with the way that the Lord was showing me, and He was showing me what season Israel is in right now and what He's doing. I want to go to Joel 3 in the Old Testament, and we're going to go through to Joel 3 and look at the nations judged and why they're being judged, okay? It says, in those days and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I will enter into judgment against them concerning my inheritance, my people Israel, for they scattered my people among the nations and divided up my land. Okay? They cast lots for my people and traded boys for prostitutes. They sold girls for wine that they might drink. Now, what have you against me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all you regions of Philistia? Are you repaying me for something I have done? If you are paying me back, I will swiftly and speedily return on your own heads what you have done. For you took my silver and my gold and carried off my finest treasures to your temples. You sold the people of Judah and Jerusalem to the Greeks, that you might send them far from their homeland. I am going to rouse them out of the places to which you sold them, and I will return on your own heads what you have done. I will sell your sons and daughters to the people of Judah, and they will sell them to the Sabians, a nation far away. The Lord has spoken. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Rouse the warriors. Let all the fighting men draw near and attack. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weakling say, I am strong. Come quickly, all you nations from every side, and assemble there. Bring down your warriors, O Lord. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full, and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will be darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem, and the earth and the sky will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for His people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Blessings for God's people. Then you will know that I, the Lord your God, dwell in Zion, my holy hill. Jerusalem will be holy. Never again will foreigners invade her. In that day the mountains will drip new wine and the hills will flow with milk. All the ravines of Judah will run with water. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley of Achaeus, or something like that. I love reading these words. They are a challenge. But Egypt will be desolate. Edom, a desert waste. Because of violence done to the people of Judah, in whose land they shed innocent blood. Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem through all the generations. The blood guilt which I have not pardoned, I will pardon. The Lord dwells in Zion. So it's all about the Lord wanting to give His people pardon, but we have to realize the real purpose of why Israel exists. Okay? And the other thing, the wisdom that the Lord's given me in this, and this is for the leaders, this is for President Barack Obama and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and all the aides, that what the Lord was showing me, and I don't know if you're ever going to get this, but I will post this somewhere the Lord will show me, where I'm sure He'll show me, the idea here is what group, you know, is going to promote the cause of peace the right way. What is their mission and vision? I really believe that, like I said earlier, the land disputes, looking at the borders and the boundaries, is you know, liken it to nonsense because of land erosion, and it's not the same. If people go on based on the Bible, it's not the same landmass as it was in the days of Abraham. But the land, the spiritual land, I really believe is people's hearts, okay? But at the same time, there needs to be a nation of Israel to exist because of what's been prophesied in the scriptures. But here's the scoop, to make this peace process the most effective that it can be in this time. And I believe that, I know I have this feeling, if this course is taken, then you will see that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and all the leaders of Israel actually have a mission vision for Israel that will benefit the Middle East, okay, and it will cause there to be peace until the return of Messiah. Now, the other thing is that if the other side cannot come up with something that will bring peace and bless many people, like it says in Scripture, then that would be a red flag for me. That would be a red flag for many people. And, that you would be able to see their hearts and where they're coming from. And it's not God's will for there to be violence in the land of Israel, all right? And so, there is going to be a time for peace. Israel isn't in fire, fire. There is a fourth man in the fire with them, and that is Jesus and the people of God, the spiritual Israel, praying for this. And so, I just wanted to ask that you continually bless the spiritual Israel and the physical Israel with many spiritual blessings under the open heaven, and that, Lord, that they will not only write to their senators here in this country to get a message to President Barack Obama that he needs to not have them go back to the pre-war, pre-1967 land disputes, but go forward to look at the purpose why Israel exists and look at each other's vision of what what they would like to see, Israel achieve, and how they would like Israel to bless the world, because that's exactly where it should go. And Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you, Lord. We decree and proclaim and declare peace, your peace that surpasses all human understanding, guarding the heart and the mind. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, what you spoke to us regarding Romans 11, how the engrafted branches have been called for such a time as this, to pray for the natural branches to be grafted back in to the tree, the tree of life that supports the roots of Israel, that supports everything that Israel stands for. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for you are that root. You are that tree. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I've been led to offer up communion for this important broadcast because we're still in the Sabbath. We're in the Shabbat, and we're on Saturday. And Shabbat ends for the Jewish people during sundown. So we're going to offer up communion, because we recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread, Yeshua, okay, because on his last night here on the earth, he took bread. He had a Passover Seder. He took bread, okay, and he broke it, and he gave thanks to his Father above, okay, his Heavenly Father above, and he said, this is a very special night, okay, and they were reclining. They were reclining here. That's how they ate during the Seder. They reclined. They entered into a rest. All right, and so as they entered into the rest, the Sabbath rest, okay, with Yeshua, he broke the bread and he offered it up to his Heavenly Father and to his disciples. He said, "Take this and eat, for this is my body, which will be broken for you." Okay? So, you know, when you eat this bread and you drink my cup, you proclaim my death until I come again in glory. And he's coming again to Israel in glory, to physical and spiritual Israel, but to the physical Israel who has now been refined and the refined is fire. All right? And so we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. And likewise, he took the cup of wine and he gave thanks as he said, this is my blood which will be shed for you for the remission of sins. When you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you proclaim my death until I come again in glory, and you will have full redemption in your body, mind, soul, spirit, will, and emotion. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Jeff, we see the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hine matovu namayim shevet akim gan yachad. Hine matovu namayim shevet akim gan yachad. Hine matov, hine matov. La 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 la. Hine matov, hine matov. La 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 la. Hine matov namayim shevet akim gan yachad. Hine matov namayim shevet akim gan yachad. In unity to dwell in unity. La 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 la. In unity to dwell in unity. La 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 la. How good and pleasant for brethren to dwell in unity together. How good and pleasant for brethren to dwell in unity together. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the peace of Jerusalem. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. We thank you for peace within the hearts of your people.
Amen.
We thank you, Jesus, to govern their hearts and their minds. Lord, we thank you for the peace of Jerusalem over the President of the United States and their family. Lord, we ask that you would just intercede and speak to him, Lord, the dictates of the kingdom, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and your will and your heart for Jerusalem. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come to Israel. Your will be done in her, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And give them this day your daily bread, and forgive them and forgive us of your trespasses, as we forgive those and as they forgive those who trespass against us and them. But lead us not into temptation, and lead them not into temptation, but deliver us and deliver them from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. Amen. We love you guys. Thank you. Peace be upon Jerusalem forever and ever. Amen.
Bless your name, Lord. Bless your holy name. Lord, we give you all the glory tonight. And thank you for your presence with us. Lord, we thank you that your name has been glorified and lifted up in this place. Lord, we pray for this project, Lord. We just take time to pray for it. Father, Lord, of 145 nations declare that instead of saying
Can no good thing come out of Nazareth, Lord? But declare that there is revival and there is restoration in this part of the world, Lord. Where your name has been sullied, Lord, where your name has been brought low, Lord, that your name is lifted up in this place and throughout this land. And we bless you for that, Lord. Bless your holy name. Amen.
Behold, he comes.